We're here on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis. After the Mishnah, we saw in the Mishnah that according to the Chachamim, the shear of Onah Ishtus Lemekach, 1/6, that's for overcharging or underpaying, Itmar. We have Machlokas now between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Omar Shtus Mekach, Ushmuel Omar Shtus Mos Nami Shaninu. Shtus Mekach means we take a look at the value, the true, genuine value of the object on the market, and we see how much was paid from the lokeach to the mocher, and we take a ratio between those two numbers. And if those numbers equal 1/6, then we know, according to Rav, and even Shmuel would agree in this case, that's called Onah. Shmuel says, in addition to Shtus Mekach, there's another concept called Shtus Mos. Shtus Mos means that we look in terms of the amount of money that was paid, and then we compare that X amount to the amount of money that the object is worth in its true market value. The Gemara now is going to explain the differences between the two. First, the Gemara tells us the case where everybody would agree it's Onah because it's Shtus Mekach. Shavi Shisa, if the object is worth, its true value on the market is 6. Bechamsha, but yet it was sold for 5 zuz. So the true value is 6, and the buyer paid 5, which means that the seller was cheated. In that case, again, everybody's going to agree that that's called Shtus Mekach. Why? Because the amount that the seller was cheated is 1. The value, the true value, is 6. So it's a ratio of 1/6. Another case is Dishavi Shita B'Shiva. The actual value is 6. And the money that was paid was 7. And in this case, the buyer was cheated. He was cheated 1, and its ratio to the value on the market is 1/6. Kuliyamalo pli the boss of Mekach has lina v'onah havi. That's certainly Mekach. That certainly is Onah, and Shmuel never denied it. Ki pligi, where do they argue? Where is it a case where Dafka, according to Shmuel, based on the halacha of Shtus Mos, it would be 1/6, they would constitute Onah, but not according to Rav Shtus Mekach. And that's going to be the case where the true value was Shavi Chamsha was 5, Bishita, and the buyer was cheated and he paid 6. So now if you take a ratio between the amount of Onah, the amount that was cheated, and the value of the object, because the true value is 5, so it's 1/5. And that's a higher percentage than 1/6. Or, another case, the value is 6, and the money that was paid was 7. And once again, if you compare the Onah, Vishavi Sheva, the value was 7, and the amount of money that was paid was only 6, which means that the seller was cheated. Now you take that 1, and if you make a ratio to the value, it's only 1/7, it's less than a shtus. But if you make a ratio to the money paid, it's 1/6. Is l'shmul di'amar basar mos azlinan? In these two cases, idi v'idi onah havi, when we set up a ratio between the amount that was cheated and the amount that was paid, we come up with 1/6. That's called Shtus Mos, and therefore it's Onah. So in those two cases of 5 and 6 or 7 and 6, we have Onah, and that's going to Shmuel Shtus Mos. However, the Rav Diomar Basar Mekach Hazlin, and Rav only has one criterion for Shtus, for Onah, and that's mekach, a ratio between the amount that was cheated and the true value. Then in those last two cases, there's no onah v'shtus. And again, it's going to be different in each case. In the case of shavu chamsha b'shisa, the true value is 5, and yet the lokech was cheated and he paid 6. So that's a higher percentage, it's 1 to 5. And therefore, according to Rav, it's going to be bittul mekach, meaning that the sale is completely null and void. And why is that? Because if it's more than a shtus, it's bittul mekach. However, shavi shiva b'shisa, if the true value was 7, and the mocher was cheated because he was only paid 6, then if we take the ratio of that 1 to the true value, it's 1 to 7, is mechila havi. Anything that's less than a shtus, a smaller fraction, is called mechila. It means the mocher is willing, in this case, to waive his rights for onah. The Gemara now explains the svara of Shmuel, that there's no mechila here, and there's no bittul mekach, in those two cases. Shmuel Amar, Chi Amrinon, mechila. When do we say that mechila kicks in, or bittul mekach, that the sale is null and void? Hechi the leka shtus mishnei tzadim. If you cannot come up with a sixth, neither through shtus mekach nor through shtus mos. If you can't sell both of those, then you talk about bittul mekach or mechila. However, avol hecha de ikah shtus mitzad echad. If you can arrive at 1/6 in one of two ways, either through shtus mekach or through shtus mos, then you have onah, and that would be Shmuel's shita. Now there's a long machlokes and somewhat complicated machlokes in the Rishonim about the following issue. So machlokes shina Mordechai and the Ritva. And the question that they're addressing is, what happens if there's no onah shtus, but if we take one of the two tzadim, we'll come up with pachos mishtus. If we take the other one of the two tzadim, then we come up with yoser mishtus. So take, for example, the value of the object is 60, and the amount of that was paid was 51, which means that the onah was 9, 51 minus 9. In this case, the mocher was cheated and he got paid less by 9 of what he should have received. So now let's analyze this, and you can analyze it from two perspectives, from shtus mos and shtus mekach. If you analyze it from the perspective of shtus mekach, that means you take 9 over 60. Is 9 over 60 is less than a 6, because 60 would be 10 over 60. So from the perspective of shtus mekach, we have less than onah, which would be mechila. However, if we take it from the perspective of shtus mekach, of shtus mos, then it's a relationship between 9 and 50. And 9 and 50 is more than onah. That would be not mechila, but rather bittul mekach. So which way do we go? According to the Mordechai's understanding of Shmuel, then we're going to use in this case shtus mekach. Everything is to be determined by the mekach. That's the ikar way that we determine onah. And therefore, if we go with shtus mekach, then in this case, as we said, it's going to be 9 over 60, which is less than the shir onah, and it'll be mechila. That's the way the Mordechai would go. The Ritva wants to say that according to Shmuel, if the onah is a shear of shtus mos, and it's somewhere between shtus mos and shtus mekach, then it's considered an onah of shtus. It's almost as if we take the medium between these two extremes. You know, it's either 1/9, which is the ratio of shtus mekach, or it's either 9/50, which is shtus mekach is 9/60, or 9/50, which is shtus mos, and in that case that it fluctuates from more than 1/6 to less than 1/6, we take the medium, which would be 1/6. That's the Ritva Shita. In any event, the Gemara now tries to prove the Shita of Shmuel from our Mishnah, Tnan. Our Mishnah says, O no, arba kesef, me esrim vi arba kesef lesela, shtus lemekach. At this point, we're taking a ratio between 4 and 24 to get 1/6. My love, shouldn't we assume that the case that's being addressed here by the Mishnah is the Zavin Shavi Esrim the Esrim Varba, that the object is worth 20 and it was sold for 24. The Gemara is assuming now that the Onah is the Lokach's Onah, meaning the buyer was cheated. And if you take this ratio of 20 to 24, meaning that the object was overpaid by 4, then you have a relationship of 4/20. Shtus mekach means compare the onah to the true value. The true value here is 20, and the onah was 4. 4/20 is 1/5. So the only way you could justify the Mishnah calling this shtus is shmamina shtus mos shaninu, nami shaninu, meaning that Shmuel Shita is that there's another way of arriving at shtus, and that's through mos. So now we're going to compare the 4 to the 24 that he paid, and that's a ratio of 1/6. So Gemara says, lo, I don't have to interpret the Mishnah in that way. You don't have to assume that the cheated person was the buyer. It could be the cheated person was the seller. Nisanem mocher. Dezavin shavi esrim v'arba v'esrim. An object which is valued in truth at 24 was sold at 20. It means that lokeach underpaid, and therefore the mocher suffered the onah. But now, if we take a ratio to the true value of the object, like Rav would say shtus mekach, then since the true value is 24 and the underpaying was 4/24 is 1/6, and that's why the Mishnah establishes as shtus. So the Gemara asks, minis ana mocher? Are you telling me now that the cheated person was the seller? Ema Seifa, there should be some symmetry and consistency between the Resha of the Mishnah and the Seifa. The Seifa says, as Masai muto lahachzir. How much time do we give him to, you know, claim onah, to yell and scream, I was cheated? Bichdeshi yira lesagar o lekrovo. Give him that window of opportunity to show the object to the experts or to his relatives to find out, to determine what's the true market value. And that would seem to assume that the lokeach is the one who is misana. V'yom Rav Nachman lo shanu el lokeach. This whole shir of kidei sheyira letagor o lekrovo is a relationship to the buyer. Amol mocher liolam choser, because the mocher doesn't have a simple ability, since he's already forked over the object to the lokeach, to go ahead and take this mekach, take this object and evaluate it. He doesn't have the chefetz biyado, it's not in his hand, so we have to give him, says Shmuel, a much longer period of time to claim onah. But be that as it may, we see clearly from Rav Nachman that the shear of Kidei Shear Latagra O Lakrovo only applies if this analokeh, the lokeh is the one who has the object, he can show it to others, to experts or to his relatives. So clearly the Sefer here is addressing, according to Shmuel, according to Rav Nachman, the case of Nis'an Elokeach. And therefore, if we maintain the symmetry and the consistency of the Mishnah, the ratio of the Mishnah should also be addressing a case of Nis'an Elokeach. Now the Gemara wants to reconcile this Mishnah with Rav of Shtus Mekach, Ella, but rather we should say the following. When the Tana speaks about Onoah here, in the case of four kesef, of arba kesef, the case is the Zabin Shove Esrin the Arba, the Esrin Usmanya. The buyer was cheated because the object's only worth 24. And the Mocher billed him for 28, so there was an Onoah of 4. And the relationship between that 4 of Onoah and the Mekach is 4 to 24. And that's a relationship of 1 to 6. Now the Gemara is going to try to bring a proof from our Mishnah to Shmuel from Rabbi Tarfon. Tanan in our Mishnah says, Hora Rabbi Tarfon Bilud, Ho'onoah Shmona Kesef, Mi Esri V'Arba Kesef L'Sela, Shlish L'Mekach. That the shear of Onoah is not 1 to 6, but rather 1 to 3. And therefore, if he cheated him by 8 out of 24, the ratio between 8 and 24 is the same as 1 to 3. It's a shlish. Initially, you know, the Tagrei Lud, as we discussed in the last year, were very thrilled about this, because then they can overcharge by up to a third. My love, shouldn't we assume that the shear of Onoah is calculated in the following way? Dizabin Shove Shitzere, he sold an object that's worth 16, and he overcharged the buyer. Be Esrim the Arba, because if you add 8 to 16, you end up with 24. Ushmamina Shlish Mos Namishanina. Here, if you're relating the 8 to the 24, it means the object itself is only worth 16. The cheating was 8. 8 to 16, if you take Shtus Mekach with Rav's Shita, you get 1/2. That's certainly not Onoah, even according to Rabbi Tarfon. But rather, you relate it to the amount of money that was paid, that Shtus Mos, and he paid 24. So if you take the 8 over 24, you get 1/3, which is exactly the shear of Onoah of Rabbi Tarfon. So Gemara says, lo, that's not what Rabbi Tarfon had in mind, but rather, Dizabin Shove Esrim V'Arba B'Shitzar. In other words, the seller was cheated, and an object that was worth 24 in the market was sold for 16. And therefore, you take a relationship between the 8 that he was underpaid, and the value of the object at 24, 8 to 24 is 1 to 3. And therefore, Shtus Mekach like Rav. The Gemara says, is it possible to assume, and we've seen this kasha in the past, that the Mishnah is addressing the case where the buyer underpaid and the mocher was cheated? Amos Seifa. Let's look at the next statement that Rabbi Tarfon makes in this Mishnah. Amalem, Rabbi Tarfon turns to the sellers in Lud and he says, Kol Hayom Mutalachzar. We're going to give an entire period of a full day, not this small window of opportunity of claiming Onoah that we saw in the Reish of the Mishnah, in the Tanakam, the Chachomim, but according to Rabbi Tarfon, we're going to give them the full balance of the day. The Omar, Rav Nachman, Lo Shanu El Lokeach Aval Mocher Liolam Chos. Again, the Mocher doesn't have the object; he's already forfeited the object, transferred it over to the ownership of the possession of the buyer, and therefore you got to give him a lot more time to check out the Mekach and see, you know, if he can get something similar, and then figure out what the market price is for that object. And therefore, we're back to square one, because we're assuming now, based on the Sefer, that we're certainly talking about a case of Nis'ana Lokeach, And that's why we give him till the end of the day. And that's where Rabbi Tapper says, Kol Hayom Mutalachzor. So if it's Nisana Lokeach, then it's not the case that you came up with where he sold something that was worth 24 at 16, because that would be Nisana Mocher, the Mocher was underpaid. Ella, the Gemara suggests, is Zavin Shavi Esrim V'Arba B'Talsin U'Train. He sold the object that was worth 24 at 32, which means that the Lokeach, the buyer, was cheated, and he was cheated by 8. And if we relate that 8 to the Mekach, which is worth 24, it's 8 to 24, which is the same as 1 to 3, as Rav would have it. But the Gemara now brings a Braisa that would support Shmuel. If the two possible diukim that we had in the Mishnah did not succeed in supporting Shmuel, maybe the diuk of the Braisa will. And the Braisa says the following, that the shear of Shtus in regard to Onah is both Bemos and Bemekach. Misha Hutal Olav, in other words, the one who was cheated, Yodo Al Ha El Yona, he gets the better choice. What does that mean? We give him an extra power or authority. Ketzad, what does this mean? Machalo Shavach Hamisha Bishisha. If the object was worth only 5 and he sold it at 6, minus Ana Lokeach, it means Lokeach was cheated because he paid 6 for an object that's worth 5. Is Yad Lokeach Al Hel Yona? We're going to give a superior position to the Lokeach, to the buyer, because he was cheated. What does that mean? We give him two options. Ratza Omer Tainli Ma'osai, O Tainli Masha One Sani. He can either cancel the sale and say, you know, give me my money back, or if he wants to, he can validate the sale and just demand that the onah be repaid. Give me back the amount that I was cheated, in this case, 1 kesef. Then the Braisa continues, Macharlo, and here we're going on to Daf Nun Amud Aleph, Shava Sheish B'Chamesh. If he sold an object, the true value on the market was 6, and he sold it for 5, minus ana mocher, he's underpaid, is mocher, yad mocher al yona. We give two options to the seller who is cheated. Rotza, if he chooses, he can completely null and void the sale. Omer lo tein li mikri, give me the object that I sold you. The whole sale is null and void. Oh, tein li masho nisani, or just pay me that money that I was cheated. And give me back that zuz. Oh. In any event, in the first of the two cases, the first two scenarios, he sold him an object that's worth on the market 5. And that's worth on the market 5, and he sold it at 6, meaning the buyer was cheated by 1. And if we relate that 1 to the market value, that's called Rav's Mekach, Shtus Mekach, we end up with 1 to 5. That's not Shtus. It's only according to Shmuel, who allows for Shtus Mos, that since he was cheated, this buyer, by 1, and he paid 6, so if you look at the most that he paid, it's a ratio of 1 to 6. So this clearly is a braisa that reflects the sheet of Shmuel, that in addition to the halacha of Shtus Mos, there's also a din of Shtus, I'm sorry, in addition to the halacha of Shtus Mekach, there's also an additional onah of Shtus Mos. Now, back on Daf Mem Tes, we understood that if it's less than Shtus, it's Mechila. And the Gemara now wants to know exactly at what point is that Mechila Chal. Iboilu, I have a suffix. Pachos Mishtus. Lirabbanon. Again, Rabbanon have the magical definition, the shear of Onat Shtus. Is li alter havi mechila? Immediately, when the sale was clinched, we assume mechila, if it was less than a shtus.
Oh, b'chdeisha yaro l'sagro l'krova. Or shall we say that we have to give a period of time before that mechila kicks in, and before that mechila he could be toveo no, even though it's less than ishtus. The imtim tzalomar, if you're going to take the second approach, that b'chdei sheyare l'sagar o l'krovo, if that be the case, we're allowing the person who was cheated a window of opportunity, even though it's less than ishtus, to break up this mekach. So the Gemara says, my ika bein shtus l'pachos mishtus. You basically established that the shir of onah is not ishtus, it's even less than ishtus, because in both cases there's the shir of kedei shir l'tagar, and that's the only window of the opportunity that he has, that period, short period of time, to be toveh as onah. After that shir there's no tviyah. So tell me, what's the difference between shtus and pachos mishtus? And the Gemara answers, Ika, there is a difference. The ilushtus yodo al hel yona rotza choze rotza kone umachzer ono. If the ono is exactly a shtus, then the one who is cheated has two opportunities, two alternatives. He can either decide to completely null and void the sale and get his money back or get his object back. But if, on the other hand, he chooses to maintain the sale, then he can just demand his own na. That's the double opportunity, the two alternatives in the case of ona shtus. The ilu pachas mishtus, however, in the case where the ona was less than a shtus, and let's assume that the nis'ana, whoever he is, wants to come along within that small window of opportunity and break up the mekach and completely void it. No. Kana, he only has one option. The kinyan is valid. Umachzer ono, he can only demand a rebate on the amount of money that he was cheated. So now we go back to the safek. My, do we have a shear of mechila that's immediate? Meaning there is no shear of mechila. We assume mechila that's, so to speak, built into the sale. Or is this mechila suspended or delayed until after the shear of kedei shear l'tagar, giving the nis'ana an opportunity within that small window of time to claim that he wants his money back? He cannot invalidate the sale, that he can only do at a shear of shtus, but at least he can demand his money back. Toshma, let's go back to our Mishnah. You remember that Rabbi Tarfon disagreed with the Chachamim in the shear of Onah is a shlish, one third. The Tagrei Lud were thrilled about that. They gave him more of an opportunity to jack up the price. But however, when Rabbi Tarfon said that the shear of claiming Onah is extended beyond that very small limited opportunity of Kedei Shir L'Tagor, and his Kol Hayom is Chazru L'Divrei Chachamim. At that moment of time, when the Tagrei Lud realized what's going on over here, that Rabbi Tarfon is in effect giving a greater scope of Onah than the Chachamim, then, you know what? We're better off with the Chachamim. That even though the Shtus, the Shir of Onah is a Shtus and nothing less than a Shtus, meaning nothing more than a shtus, I guess you'd say, because one third is greater than a sixth. Nevertheless, they would rather, in the trade-off, take the more limited shear of window shear of time of kedei shear l'tagar than the period of the entire day. So the Gemara at this point thinks savrua. Right, whenever the Gemara says savrua to explain the premise of the Hava, I mean, it's referring to them meaning the bnei hayeshiva. They wanted to use this mishnah as a proof in terms of how long of a period of time do you give if it's less than a shtus for the mis'anah to claim onah. And the premise is that pachas mishlish l'Rabbi Tarfon is kip pachas mishtus l'Rabbanan dummy. In other words, let's just change the fraction, but all the other dinim remain constant. Nothing changes other than the fact that you convert the one-sixth of the Chachamim into the one-third of Rabbi Tarfon. Oh, so therefore, if it's less than a third according to Rabbi Tarfon, it has the same din as less than a sixth for the Rabbana. Iamit b'shleima pachas mishtus l'rabbanon b'chtei sheyaro l'tagro l'krovo. If I understand, then in the case of pachas mishtus, we give the nis'ane an opportunity to claim ona, which as we discussed before means he can reclaim the money that he was cheated. And then l'rabbi Tarfon, kol ayom, we're going to give the nis'ane in the case of pachas mishtus, or pachas mishlish in Rabbi Tarfon's frame of reference, the entire day, according to Rabbi Tarfon, to come back and claim, I want to be reimbursed for the ono, I want to get that money back to the ono, is mishum hachi, based on that premise, chazru, we can begin to understand why the Tagrei Lud dropped the ball on Rabbi Tarfon, rather picked up the shita of the Chachamim. It was when initially Rabbi Tarfon expanded the amount of overcharge to a shlish, that's when they got excited about it. And therefore, up until a shlish, but less than a shlish is mechila, they were very happy about this, because in the case of onah shtus and above, the Chachamim say the Mis'ana could only come back and be mevatel the mechira from the time up until the time of Shiira l'tagor. Correct? So again, in the case of onah shtus, you have up until Yira l'tagor. That's according to the Chachamim. And according to Rabbi Tarfon, let's say if the onah is less than a shtus, the Mis'ana has no possibility of canceling the Mekach. He can only demand for a repayment, a rebate, right? L'tvoa es onoso. And that too should be within that limited amount of time of Kadesh Yira l'tagor. Right, that was the initial misimpression of the Tagrei Lud. And therefore the Tagrei Lud thought that they can now overcharge up until a third, and the Lekuchos cannot be Mevatel the Mekach. Why? Because in Shtus there's no possibility of Bittel Mekach. So if they were focused right now on Bittel Mekach, on that Halach of Onoah, obviously Rabbi Tarfon is working in their favor, because as long as it's less than a shtus, there's no Bittel Mekach, whereas according to Chachamim there would be Bittel Mekach. Why did the Tagrei Lud change their attitude? Because then they heard from Rabbi Tarfon that Rabbi Tarfon is allowing the Lokeach, who is cheated, an extra period of time that goes way beyond the Rabbanan's Kadesh Shira L'Tagrei Kol Ayom. Is Mimela, in the case of Pachas Mishtus, even though there would be a Mechila, which makes the Tagrei Lud very excited, but nevertheless that's only going to be Chal after the day passes. Only then is there a halacha of mechila. So now, if we assume that the halacha of mechila in Pachas Mishtus and Rabbanu, Pachas Mishlish in the framework of Rabbi Tarfon is a situation which gives the Nis'ana rights to claim his money back, then we begin to understand, you know, why the Tagrei Lud initially were excited about the din of shtus and shlish, because that's bittul mekach, and certainly that expands, you know, Rabbi Tarfon is significantly expanding their ability to overcharge, and then they change their mind because of the din of mechila, of pachas mishtus, of pachas mishtus, because there, in the context of mechila, Rabbi Tarfon is really messing them up, because he's giving the lokeach, the nis'ana, a full day, you know, till the balance of the day, to recollect and demand a rebate on the monies. Everything seems to fit very well. Ela'i Amrit, but if we're going to assume that pachos mishtus lirabonon is li'alter havi mechila, that if it's in the Chachamim's frame of reference, there is no shear, a window of Kadesh Yira L'Tagor,
but rather immediately built into the mechira, there is an automatic mechila. Then, and here we're turning to daf nunam in beis, then l'rabbi tarfon nami, we should assume in a parallel way that less than a shlish is li alter avi mechila. Is, if that be the case, then l'chora, they should be very, very excited about Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Amai chazru, but Rabbi Tarfon nichalei tfei, they have certainly a better situation according to Rabbi Tarfon. Demai dirabonon kamashvelu ona l'Rabbi Tarfon havi mechila. If you have a shear of a shtus according to Chachamim, which means that the lokeach now could demand ona, according to Rabbi Tarfon, that's mechila, because you're telling me that immediately with the sale of an ona pachas mishlish, according to Rabbi Tarfon, like the sale of pachas mishtus, according to Chachamim, there's an automatic built-in mechila. Wow, this is great. If you take a look at the discrepancy or the wavering between a shtus and a shlish, anything within that sum of money is going to be, according to Rabbi Tarfon, an automatic mechila, which is great. It means that affords the Tagri Lud with the ability to overcharge up to, but not less than, but not up to the Shlish. And at that point, there's an automatic Mechila. So it makes sense, therefore, based on the entire story about the Tagri Lud, where the original position and the happiness, and then the final position, to assume that in the case of Pachas Mishtus, there's an automatic Mechila. We're not going to give you any window of time. Just pukvik, just the opposite. In other words, it makes sense that the Tagri Lud were not happy at the end of the day with Rabbi Tarfon, because the halacha pachas mishtus allows for a claim of onova rebate, and it's not an automatic mechila. But if you take the other approach, that there's an automatic mechila in pachas mishtus, then the Tagri Lud should be absolutely thrilled, even lamaskana, with Rabbi Tarfon, because that gives them an automatic mechila if they overcharge up to a shlish. The Gemara says, wait a minute, you've been operating with a certain premise, which I would question. Mi savris, why do you assume that pachas mishlish l'Rabbi Tarfon, ki pachas mishtus l'Rabbanan dami, that the rules that govern pachas mishtus in the Rabbanan's frame of reference are identical in the case of a shlish Rabbi Tarfon? Lo, those two dinim of shtus and shlish are not the same. Why is that so? Because mishtus v'ad shlish l'Rabbi Tarfon, kishtus atzma l'Rabbanan dami. The onah of a shtus, exactly a shtus, according to Chachamim, which allows for the Yad HaMis'ana al Yonah to break up the Mekach in the case of a shtus, or to at least, if he doesn't want to break up the Mekach, to demand the payment of Onah up till Shiira Tagor. And now, the Machlokes of Rabbi Tarfon with the Chachamim is only in this point, that whereas, according to Chachamim, in Yosef Mishtus there's a bitul mekach, and that's the din of onah, and only the misana can break up the mekach. However, even according to Rabbi Tarfon, there's no mechila. Let's try to understand, in the light of this Gemara, what the Gemara was thinking beforehand, and how the Gemara now makes a change. Originally, the Gemara thought that according to Rabbi Tarfon, if the ono was between a shtus and a shlish, then there's no bitul mekach, and it has the same din as a koin t'chachomim of less than a shtus. But the Gemara now makes an about face, and the Gemara now is assuming that according to Rabbi Tarfon, in this ono of between a a shtus and a shlish, the halacha is the same as a shtus according to the Chachamim. Not pochos mishtus, where there's no possibility of bitul mekach, but the same as a shtus according to Chachamim. Now, in the case of a shtus according to Chachamim, there are two options. You can either accept a rebate, or you can cancel the chov. The machlokas now between the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon, in the case of an onah between more than a sixth but less than a third, is that according to Chachamim, in this case, like in the case of shtus, in the case of shtus, it's only the nisana who gets the. But in the case of Yosef shtus, according to Chachamim, either the mocher or the lokeach can decide to nullify the kinyan, the sale, the mechira. According to Rabbi Tarfon, only the lokeach, who is the nisana, has the right to this option. And if there was an onoa between a shtus and a shlish, then there is even according to Rabbi Tarfon the possibility of bittul mekach, but only on the part of the nisana. Whereas since it's more than a shtus according to Chachamim, either the mocher or the lokeach have equal rights to be mevatel. To be mevatel the mekach. Now, according to this understanding of Rabbi Tarfon, we can go back to the original assumption that in the case of onah in the lowest category, then the mechila is immediate, something that the Gemara just rejected, and we can still make sense out of the give and take, the havamina and the maskana of the Tagri Lud, because what we were saying until now was that if built into the mekach is mechila, that means immediately with the mekach, in a case of pochos mishtus l'chachamim or pochos mishlish l'Rabbi Tarfon, there's a built-in mechila, then there's an immediate mechila, then we don't understand why the Tagri Lud weren't thrilled about Rabbi Tarfon, because if there's an immediate mechila, that's going to allow the mochrim of Tagri Lud to overcharge up to a shlish. But now that the Gemara is suggesting that we can accept an automatic mechila in the lowest case, the most minimum kind of onah, but that category is only in the case of less than a shtus. If on the other hand it's between a shtus and a shlish, then Rabbi Tarfon gives the mocher, the yado al yono, he can either demand a rebate, or he can just completely nullify the mechira. So in the case of an onah of shtus, it makes sense that the tagre lud would actually be in a bad position, in a deficit, according to Rabbi Tarfon, because at least according to Chachamim, if there was an onah of a shtus, assuming the lokech was nisana, he's yado al yono, he can even demand the rebate or nullify the sale. But yet he has a very short period of time in which he can make this claim. According to Rabbi Tarfon, on the other hand, the lokech has the entire day to put forth this claim. So in the case where there was an onah of shtus, the shita of the Chachamim is much more exciting for the tagre, if we're talking about the shitas of the Chachamim, then the Chachamim are doing much better for the Tagri Lud than Rabbi Tarfon is, because assuming that there was an onah of more than a shtus, then what the Chachamim are doing for the Tagrei Lud is they're offering the lokech a very limited period of time, you know, a certain deadline to come by and break up the mekach, so that the Chashitas Chachamim is beneficial for the Tagrei Lud, because, you know, if the lokeach doesn't make it for the deadline, he no longer has any claim, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfa, the deadline is the entire day, and therefore it's more likely that the lokeach will claim onah. And even if the Chachamim would not set such a deadline, right, in such a case, and even if perhaps in the case of more than a shtus, up to a shlish, the Rabbanon would give the lokeach, you know, more time and not set up this very quick and very short period of time, this deadline, nevertheless, overall, Rabbi Tarfon's system is a disadvantage, because if the onah was a shtus, then in such a case Rabbi Tarfon allows them an extra amount of time, allows them, I mean the buyers, whereas the Chachamim are giving a very short period of time for the Chazor. So what comes out now is what the Gemara is saying in this new understanding of Rabbi Tarfon. It's very possible that we understand very well that even though the Mechila in Pachas Mishtus or Pachas Mishlish would be immediate, correct? Immediate, it's built into the Mekach. Nevertheless, there still is a reason why the Tagrei Lud prefer L'maskona the Chachamim over Rabbi Tarfon. And the reason for that is that in the case of an onah of shtus, the Chachamim are offering the lokeach a very short period of time for onah, to claim onah, whereas Rabbi Tarfon is expanding that to a longer period of time. I just emphasize that in this new interpretation of Rabbi Tarfon, the Gemara is suggesting, if the onah was more than a shtus, up to a shlish, Rabbi Tarfon accepts the possibility of bittul mekach, but only on behalf of the lokeach, and that's called yodo halal yona. Whereas according to Chachamim, once you reach shtus, then once you go above shtus, it's an automatic bittul mekach. Since now, even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that the lokeach has a right to be mevatel mekach above shtus, then the issue as to what's best for the Tagrei Lud is going to boil down to how much time do you give the lokeach to back out and exercise his rights. The Chachamim are giving the lokeach a very limited time, whereas Rabbi Tarfon gives him a more expanded period of time. But again, when there's pachos mishtus, then the mechila might be immediate and everything fits into place. The Gemara says ihachi. But now in your new interpretation of Rabbi Tarfon, and the machlokus is going to be in the case of Yosef Mishtus, as to whether or not we give both parties the ability to be mevatel the mekach, or we only give the nisana, meaning the lokeach in this case, the possibility of being misana, is b'may somchu meikara. What was the havah, meaning the Tagrei Lud, when Rabbi Tarfon established that the onah is the shear of shlish, and they were excited about that? Well, now what we're saying is that if it's less than a shtus, then both Rabbi Tarfon and the Chacham agree that there's mechila, and if it's a shtus, even Rabbi Tarfon now agrees that the lokeach could be mevatel the mekach, and the only machlokes is about Yosef Mishtus. And if that be the case, what are they so excited about? the ono is more than a shtus, then according to Chachomim it's bitul mekach. Whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's yodo yoda misana al yono. But at the end of the day, even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that the lokeach could break up this mecher if it was from shtus to a shlish. So the Gemara says now that the only way you could really justify the excitement of the Tagre Lud in the initial spurt of energy is in the case of Yosef Mishtus, according to the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon, Yodal Yona means that the Nisana, the Lokech, has rights, can exercise his rights to be Mvatel the Mekach, whereas according to Chachomim, once it's Yosef Mishtus, it's an automatic Bitul Mekach. So the Gemara says, to explain and justify that Simcha, you're going to have to say Tifshot, you're going to have to come to some conclusion about a suffix that we'll see later on in the Sugya, which we haven't gotten to yet, and Bitul Mekach L'Rabbonin Li'Olam Chozer. In other words, in the case of Yosef Mishtus, that's an automatic Bitul Mekach, according to Chachomim. You know, we're not going to wait Ad Sheyira Tagor. Then we can begin to understand why they were happy about it. They gave it the Amalu Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says in the case of Ona above Shtus, up to a Shlish, the Halach is not like the Chachomim. It's not an automatically Bitul Mekach, and it's Chozer Li'Olam, but rather Havi Ona, which means there's a possibility of the Nisana, the Lokeach, exercising his rights to claim Ono, but that's only within a limited period of time. And the Havamina, the Tagri Lud, thought that was in the period of time of Yira L'Tagor, whereas according to the Chachamim, in this case of Yosef Mishtus, there's a Bitul Mekach Li'Olam, is Samchu. Then we understand why the Tagri Lud were very happy with Rabbi Tarfon, because he's giving the Lokeach, in the case of Yosef Mishtus up to Shlish, a very limited of time to break up the Mecher, whereas the Chacham say he could always break up the Mecher for ad infinitum. Is ki omar lahu kol ayom. Now we understand that when Rabbi Tarfon clarified that the Lokeach is going to be given the entire day in order to be mevatel the Mekach, they began to see that ultimately they're losing something over here. Why? Because according to the Chachamim, if the Mis'ana was not, again in the case of Ono Shtus, now we're going back to the case of Ono Shtus B'diuk, if the Chachamim are correct, then the Nis'ana is not going to be able to be Mevatel the Mekach for a very long period of time, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, even in this case of a shtus, there is a longer period of time in which the Nisana, the Lokeach, could break up the Mekach up until the night time. And therefore they would rather go with the Chachamim. Now the Gemara wants to clarify this Pshitas HaSofek. How do you know that Bitul Mekach, according to Rabbon and Lama, if it's Yosef Mishtus, is Li'Olam Chozer, the Yisalka Daitoch, Dibitul Mekach L'Rabbanu B'chdei She'yir Yare L'Sagar O L'Krovu, if you're going to apply this limitation rule. In the Chachamim's frame of reference, even to Yosef Mishtus of Bitul Mekach is B'mai Somchu. Then we don't understand why initially the Tagrei Lud were happy with Rabbi Tarfon. I mean, the only machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon is about the sheer between Shtus and Shlish. And according to Chachamim, in that case of Yosef Mishtus Popochos Mishlish, there's Bitul Mekach, and both of them have a right to break up the Mecher, and it's Li'ola. And according to Rabbi Tarfon, this is Ona, but only the Mis'ana can be Chozer. And if that be the case, then the Mis'ana can be Chozer up until the period of time of Shira Tagor. After that, there's Mechila. Is that the Tagrim didn't gain anything by Rabbi Tarfon, because Zu Ona, it means that the Ona of Rabbi Tarfon is even greater than the Chachamim. But if we're going to assume that Bittul Mekach, according to Rabbanon, requires a period of time, the Shir of Kadesh Yir L'Tagor, then B'mai Samchu, why should the Tagri Lud be happy? Because if there was a of Shtus and above, up to a Shlish, then according to Rabbi Tarfon, the Lokeach has Yodo El Yona, he can either demand the rebate or he can null and void the sale. If that be the case, according to the Chachamim, then the halacha would be in such a case that not only does the Nisana have the right to nullify the sale, but even the Mocher could nullify the sale. So it comes out that both Rabbanan and Rabbi Tarfon are setting up a very small limit of time for the lokeach to claim ono. So what was the simcha here? What did they gain? What did the Tagri Lud gain by the shitas chachamim? And the Gemara answers that maybe we have to again change our understanding of Rabbi Tarfon. Somchu bishtus atzma. What happens if the ono is exactly a shtus, the Rabbi Tarfon mechila, the Rabbanan ono. According to Rabbi Tarfon, this is considered mechila, and the lokech has no recourse to claim ono. The Rabbanan would say no, this is ono, and the Chachamim are giving the Nis'ana, the buyer, a chance to demand a refund. And therefore, we understand why Somchu Tagri Lud. Excited about Rabbi Tarfon, who offered a din of Mechila in the discrepancy between, I'm sorry, in the case of Shtus itself, of exactly Shtus. In other words, originally, they thought that Rabbi Tarfon would define the case of an onah of a shtus in the same way that onah of yeser mishtus. In both cases, it's the same because the shear of onah, according to Rabbi Tarfon, is a shlish. Now the Gemara is offering a different suggestion that if it's more than a shtus of an onah, that's like the case of pachos mishtus. There's no difference, and therefore, according to Rabbi Tarfon, we basically have three different halachas of onah. We have the case of pachos mishtus or ashtus, and in this case, there's an automatic mechila. We have the case that's yeser mishtus up to a shlish, in which the Nis'ana, the Lokech, has Yodo al Halyona. Then we have the case of a Shlish, where it's not Yodo al Yona, but any one of the two parties, the Mocher or the Lokech, have a right to be Mevatel the Mekach. According to Chachamim, on the other hand, we have the following three dinim. We have Pachos Mishtus, which means an automatic Mechila. We have a Shtus itself, in which the Lokech is given Yod El Yonah two choices, and then we have Yeser Mishtus, where either the Lokech and or the Mocher can back out of the deal. Now, in the case of Pachos Mishtus, both Rabbi Tarfon and the Chachamim are on the same page. There's an automatic Mechila, and therefore the Mocher would not offer any sort of a rebate whatsoever. If it's more than a shtus, up to a shlish, then before Rabbi Tarfon came back and explained his sheet of giving the entire day, then both the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon are offering the Lokeach a very short period of time to claim onah. And therefore, the difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon is not at all significant. On the other hand, in the case of Yosef Ishtos, Rabbi Tarfon has the better suggestion, better opportunity for the Mokrim than the Chachamim, because according to Rabbi Tarfon, there is a Mechila, and there's no need for the Mocher to pay any sort of refund, any rebate, where the Chachamim say that it's Adarabba, the Nis'ana the Lokech has the Yoda al Yona, and he can void the sale. Then when Rabbi Tarfon announced his halacha of Shlish, the Tagri Lud were absolutely thrilled about it. However, then Rabbi Tarfon added that he's going to give the Nis'ana the entire day to put his claim in. And at this point, the Tagri Lud said, you know, Rabbi Tarfon, thanks but no thanks, because by extending the time period that the Nis'ana could claim Onah, which would be relevant in the cases of an Onah of more than a Shtus, then the previous deadline was very limited, and now Rabbi Tarfon is expanding the deadline. So the Gemara says that if this be the case, we end up with actually no proof. We don't know whether Mechila is automatic, it's built in the case of Pachs Mishtus, or it's not. So there's no actually Pshitus on the Suffolk, and it's possible that in the case of Yosef Mishtus, the Bittul Mekach, according to the Chachamim, allows for a time period, and even though both according to Chachamim and Rabbi Tarfon, from Shtus until Shlish, there's a possibility of Chazara Achira Tagor, and you don't have a Kasha, why were the Tagri Lud happy, some Chubishtus Atzma, because it became clear that according to the Rabbi Tarfon, between Shtus and Shlish, that's called Onah, which means that in Yosef, that it has the same din as Yosef Ishtus, but Shtus B'diuk is according to Rabbi Tarfon, the din is like Pachas Mishtus, and there's an assumption of Mechila, and that's where they got excited, because according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's Mechila, it's an immediate Mechila, according to Rabbanon, it's a din Onah, which only gives the Lokech up till Sheirah Atagar. But after Rabbi Tarfon explained that according to his opinion, the Shir Zman in which the Lokeach could decide to back out is the entire day, then the Tagri Lud said, no thanks, we don't want it. Because that's going to create a Hefsed in the case where the Onah is more than a Shtus, that according to Chachamim, the time period of Chazor is only Kadesh Shira L'Tagor, and then we assume, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the Misana has the possibility of Chazor for the entire day. Now, we explained back on Daf Mem Tes that the Onah that's more than a Shtus according to Chachamim is Bittul Mekach. Now the Gemara is going to raise the question, what is the nature of that Bittul Mekach? This is the Iboilahu that we were waiting for, that we indicated earlier. Iboilahu is what's the din of Yesem Ishtus? Bittul Mekach l'Rabbonali Olam Choser. Whenever the Mis'ana comes around, it could be a year, it could be 10 years, to claim he was overcharged, that's Leola. He always has rights to do so. Dilma, shall we say, Bichdei Sheyare Litagor Olakrovo, we still give him a limited amount of time to back down and nullify the deal. So the Gemara says the following. Let's try to be poshet this suffix. Imtim to lomar. If you're going to argue that kedeshe yare litagor olakrovo is my ika ben shtus li yesrael shtus, because basically what you're saying is that the same shear that you're giving the lokeach to be choser in the case of a shtus applies in the case of yesem ishtus. So basically, yesem ishtus is equal to shtus. So what does it mean that yesem ishtus is batul mekach? And the Gemara rejects that and says, and we've seen this logic in the past, ika, there still is a difference. The ilu in the case of shtus, is only the Nisana could be Chozrin. In the case Ilu Yeser Mishto Shneim Chozrin, either one, whether it's the Mocher Lokeh, could back out of the deal. So the Gemara ends up with this Sofek Mai. What should we say about it? Toshma, we're going to go back to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tesamid Beis. After Rabbi Tarfon explained to the Targilug that the Lokeh has the entire day to be Chozer Bo, and not just Adshir L'Tagar, it's Chozru Lit. They went back and they applauded the Chachamim. If you're going to say that Bittul Mekach L'Rabbanon, in the case of Onav Yosem Ishtus is Bichbei Sheyara L'Tagro L'Krovo Uli Rabbi Tarfon Kol Ayom is Mishum Hachi Chazu. Now we understand why they preferred the Chachamim. At the beginning they were happy because they thought they're gaining something, because they can be ma'ane eshtus. And according to the Chachamim, the mis'ana, the one who suffered, can be mevatel the mekach, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's going to be an immediate mechila. Now that they heard that there's a zman chazor of the entire day, they changed their mind, because now they're losing, according to Rabbi Tarfon, in the case of Ono Yosem Ishtus, because according to Rachamim, we're going to allow them Kidei Sheir L'Tagor to break up the mech. According to Rabbi Tarfon, we're going to give them the entire day. That's a hefsi gadol for the Tagilu. El Iamit Bithul Mechach L'Rabban Liolam Choser. If according to Rachamim, once there's a din of Bittul Mekach, and the Lokeach could always back out of the deal, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, you only give him a limited time to back out of the deal, then Amai Chazru, why would they accept the Chachamim? But Rabbi Tarfon, Nichol Tfu, they have a better advantage according to the Rabbi Tarfon, to come Mashvilu Ono Kol Ayom Vesulo. In other words, the Chachamim allow you, in a case of Yosef Mishtus, to have a chazor li olam, the lokeh could always back out of the deal, whereas according to Rabbi Tarfon, it's only for the course of the day. So clearly the Tagliud are doing better according to Rabbi Tarfon than they would according to the Chachamim, and therefore we don't really appreciate why the Tagliud went back and applauded the Chachamim. The Chachamim give the lokeh unlimited time, limitless amount of time to break up the Mekach. And the Gemara now rejects it and says, you know what? Bittul Mekach according to Chacham is Chozer Liolam according to Rabbi Tarfon. It has the din of Onah. Nevertheless, we still understand why the Tagrilud would prefer the Chachamim. The Gemara says that Bittul Mekach lo Shchiach. It's very rare to have a case of Bittul Mekach. In other words, to trick and cheat the lokeach in such a sheer gadol, in such an amazing amount, such a significant amount, and therefore it was preferable from the perspective of the Tagrilud to accept the shitas chachamim and to allow to the overcharge of a sheer vishtus, because that's more common. And after that time of Shiyur L'Tagor, the Lokech will not be able to be Chozer Bo. That's more advantageous than to be knowing, like Rabbi Tarfon, that in that Shiyur of Ashtus, the Lokech could be Chozer Bo until the Sofayom. Even though, according to Rabbi Tarfon, the Shiyur of Ono is that much greater than Ashtus, and there won't be a Bittul Mekach in that Shtus. And above until you get to a shlish, but nevertheless, the bittul mekach of that significant amount is so rare. It's ein matzui. That's what we mean by bittul mekach lo shchiach. And therefore, they would rather go like the chachamim, which would accept the shear of honah to a shtus. Shtus is much more common, and even though Rabbi, you know, even though that's not going to be advantageous for them in Yosem Shtus, but you know they would rather stick to the Shtus halacha. Basically, they're weighing two possibilities. In the case of Yosem Shtus up to a shlish, whereas Rabbi Tarfon gives the the entire day for Bittul Mekach. So that's one advantage in Rabbi Tarfon, but that doesn't outweigh the drawback of Rabbi Tarfon, because since Bittul Shtus is more Shchiach, it's more common or frequent, and according to the Chachamim, in such a case of a Shtus, the Lokeach can only demand a Bittul or a rebate for a very short period of time, whereas the Sheet of Rabbi Tarf would allow him a longer period of time. And add to that, that in the cases of yes and mishtus up to a shlish, even in the rare occasions that it does happen, so in most cases, such a fraud, so to speak, would certainly send red bell, light the bells off, and the buyer would not agree. According to the Chachamim, even though in Yosef Mishtus there is no limit, is bitul yolam, but nevertheless we'd rather take the Chachamim system, because that case of Yosef Mishtus is eno matzli. In any event, the Gemara comes to a conclusion. Amar Rava Hilchasa, the final word is that Pachos Mishtus Nikne Mekach, which means that automatically the Mekach is valid, and we're not going to wait till Kedei Sheira Targo Krovo. The Misana cannot cancel the Mekach, and he can't even demand a rebate. But in the case of Yosef Mishtus, Yosef Ashtus, that's Bittul Mekach, which means that both the Mocher and the Lokeach have recourse to invalidate the sale, and Shtus itself is Kana. The Mekach is valid. No one can invalidate the Mekach, but Machzir Ona. But in this case, the Mis'an has right to demand a rebate. Vizeh. Now Rav explains, up until what time does the Mis'an have a right to back down from the deal and cancel the sale? Whether it's the case of Onah, of Shtus, or it's the Bittul Mekach of Yosef Mishtus, is Bechdei Sheyire Letagar Olakrovo. After that period of time, there is a premise of Mechila. Tanya Kavose de Rava, the Gemara quotes a Braisa to support Rava. Ona, here's an overview, says the Braisa, of the Dinim of Ona. Pochos Mishtus, Nikne Mekach, immediately the Mekach is valid, and there's no possibility on the Misanis part to demand neither a rebate or a cancellation of the Mekach. Yeser al Shtus Batel al Mekach, which means that if it's more than a Shtus, both the Mocher and the Lokech have rights to nullify the sale. Shtus, if it's exactly a Shtus, is Kana. The Mekach is valid. Umachzir Ona, and that's the view of Divrei Rabbi Nosa. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi disagrees as far as Onos Shtus is concerned. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer, in the case of Shtus, the Mekach is not Chai V'Kaim against the Nis'ana's will. The Nis'ana has rights. If, let's say, the Nis'ana is the Mocher because he was underpaid, then Yad Mocher Al Yona, and therefore Rotza is Omerlo, Tainli Mikhi, give me back the item that I sold you and take your money back. Or you could say Tainli Masha Ini Sonny, give me at least a rebate for that which you underpaid me. Vizeh, both in the case of Onos Shtus, both in the case of Onos Yosef Mishtus, is the limitation the statute of limitation is Bechdesha Yira Litagra Olakrovo, the Misana can only back down for the deal up until the point of Kadeshi Yisana Mikrov. But anyway, it's clear from this Brisa that Rava's Psak was accepted. As far as what Rava said, Paskin, that in the case of Ono Pochus Mishtus, or in the case of Ono Yisera Mishtus, it's clear that the Brisa, even both according to Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, supports Rava. As far as Ono Shtus is concerned, Rava had accepted the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, because the Halach is like Rabbi Nosson in Dine Mominos, which means that in the case of Ono Shtus is Kana, the Mekach is valid, and neither of them can be Mevatel the Mekach. As far as Hachzoras Ha'ona, then there's a din of the Mis'anah's rights to collect his Ona up until the point of Kedei She'ira L'Tagor Olakrova. Not accepting view of Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, then in the case of Ona Shtus, there's a possibility of the Mis'anah completely voiding the sale. Okay, Rabbosai, right now we're going to take a break, and Mirtzchem tomorrow we'll finish up Daf Nun Amid Beis and go on B'li Neder to Nun Aleph in the next year.